Today's passage is John 18, verses 12 to 27. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. We're continuing in John 18 today, picking up from yesterday's passage about the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. To sum up what's going on in these verses, John interweaves two narratives, Jesus before Annas and Caiaphas, and then Peter's denials of Jesus. First, Jesus goes on trial before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests of the Jews, and as it turns out, relatives to one another. My study Bible points out that some do not call this a trial, but rather a hearing, because there are too many irregularities and injustices to really call it a trial, recorded here and the other three Gospels. To quote my study Bible, "Judging from the description of rules for trials found in the Mishnah of some 200 years later, the proceedings here were marked by serious irregularities and violations of Jewish law. The Sanhedrin was not supposed to meet at night. The death penalty could not be declared on the day of the trial. There was false evidence and false witnesses were used. Jesus was exposed to blows from attendants during the trial. In addition to all this, it was illegal for the Sanhedrin to meet for a capital case on the eve of a Sabbath or a feast day. These violations show that Jesus' condemnation by the Jewish authorities was a travesty of justice." As mentioned by that quote, Jesus is struck in the mouth in verse 22, though he is already bound and hasn't said anything wrong. He says in verse 23, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Interweaved with this narrative is the narrative of Peter denying Jesus three times. The other disciple in verse 15 likely refers to John, who is able to get into the courtyard of the high priest and bring Peter along as well. Verse 17 reads, "The servant girl at the door said to Peter, 'You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.'" Like Jesus said he would, Peter is unable at this moment to go to death for Jesus. He likely is fearful for his own life. that if he does own up to being Jesus' disciple, the servant girl would tell somebody else and draw attention to him. Maybe he would go on trial himself. No doubt later on, no doubt that earlier in the night, Peter was all in for Jesus. But in this tense time when Jesus was actually arrested and in trial, and Peter is separated from him, Peter does not have the courage to say, "Yes, I am Jesus' disciple." Instead, he is content to warm himself by the fire and observe from the side. And of course, later on, the servants and officials, including a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked the same question to him, and Peter denies Jesus twice more. At once, the rooster crows, as Jesus foretold earlier. I think Peter is a great representation of us and why we need Jesus. We, like Peter, simply cannot, on our own strength, love God with all that we have. Despite all of our best intentions, man is sinful and falls short of loving God. We can only stand by the fire on the side. But praise God that Jesus, on the other hand, lives up to exactly what God wants. Jesus endured the betrayal of Judas. He endured the abandonment from his disciples, his closest friends. And he also endured the injustices from these trials. Soon, he would endure all of the wrath of God on the cross because of our sin. John interjects in verse 14, "It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people." Caiaphas was speaking truth from God when he advised that it's best for one man to die for the people. Jesus died for the people, not just the Jews at the time, as Caiaphas was probably thinking, but in reality, Jesus died for all future believers, so we could be made right with God. And that good news means that we, like Peter, though we denied Jesus and fell short many times, we do not have to have all those sins held against us. But we have the righteousness of Jesus because he endured it all for us. So today, let's go to Jesus in thanksgiving for what he's done. And let's also be filled with hope that as Jesus forgave Peter later on and worked powerfully through his life, we can know that God is doing the exact same thing for us. That he forgives all of our sins and that he really wants to use us for his kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done. Jesus, we thank you for staying true to who you are as the Son of God. And Lord, for enduring all this suffering that you didn't have to endure, but you did so that we could be counted right before you, so that all of our sins, all the times that we denied you before, can be wiped away, and Lord, we can be restored to a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that this good news really impacts our days today. Lord, that we wouldn't get caught up in work or what we have to do, but Lord, in all of it, Lord, we would remember who we are in you and remember this tremendous gift of relationship that we've been given by you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.